Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Really exciting topic today to talk about at church, repentance. Yay. Really important, though, that we talk about it today. John the Baptist Day. There are different kinds of test takers. Maybe you fall. What kind of test taker are you? There are two kind of ways to go about tests. Maybe you fall in one of these two categories. One way to prepare for a test is to be very prepared. Maybe you were this way when you went to school, but you went to class and you raised your hand and you engaged in discussion. And when the bell rang, you were willing to stay later to talk to the teacher and answer questions and find out answers from the teacher. And you took your homework home and you did it. That was good because when the test came, the test really didn't cause a lot of angst inside or anything like that. It was just a formality. A person that prepares has sees it as a learning process. The test is just lickety-split. It doesn't really hurt all that much. Not a problem. Then there's the other kind of test taker. Maybe you fall into that category. I don't know. The other kind of test taker is not very diligent. They really aren't on top of things. When the bell rings in class, they're out. They're out playing basketball. They aren't ones to take their homework home at night and to do it. And when the final exam is announced, they hope that that exam, the format, is multiple choice. Because if it's multiple choice, there's guesswork that can be done. Maybe they can get a few right answers, but the teacher explains to them, no, it's not going to be multiple choice. It's going to be essay. And that sends them over the top because they really haven't prepared and they can't put their words, their answers into their own words. Diligent, not so prepared. What kind of test taker are you? Well, this morning we're being presented in Matthew chapter 3. A new twist on seeing John the Baptist here in Matthew chapter 3. John is talking about a test that is coming. What kind of test preparation are we going to go about? John the Baptist says that one who is greater than him is coming. Think about the words that are described there in verses 11 and 12 about Jesus. It says that this one who is coming has a winnowing fork. That was a shovel type fork, a fork shovel that separated the seed, the wheat from the chaff. It was a test that Jesus was coming to separate the two. And John the Baptist says that once they're separated, Jesus is going to, with unquenchable fire. The word there in the Greek could be translated as consuming fire. Jesus is going to destroy the chaff. A test is coming, John the Baptist suggests. Well, what kind of people are we here this morning? God, before John the Baptist, his special way of preparing his people was to send prophets. People like Micah in the Old Testament, females like Deborah. And then John the Baptist was the last prophet we teach in the Christian church. That was God's way of prepping for this test to come. But today what I'd like to talk about is the way to prepare for Jesus coming in the future that God is very clear about. This is the way to prepare. Repentance. The more and more we practice repentance, the more we're ready for the test when Jesus will come. Repentance literally means a change of mind. Breaking it down in the word, a change of mind. And I'd like to suggest repentance really means three things. The first thing is taking responsibility for faults. How many people here this morning are good at taking responsibility of faults? No one raised their hand. Okay, very good. Well, we got to get good at that. I don't blame you for not raising your hand because I'm telling you the culture teaches the exact opposite. This is a warning. Our culture teaches the exact opposite. In 2001, there was a Navy commander right off Japan, Scott Waddell, and he gave the a maneuver, emergency maneuver of a nuclear submarine to come up very quickly out of the waters. And when he did that, the submarine came up and hit a Japanese fishing boat. And that accident killed 9 people. Now, the good news about this is that Scott Waddell took responsibility and did not let the crew take the hit. But what was not reported in the papers was this. Everyone around him coached him not to do that. They said that if he admitted, if he took responsibility, it would end his career. They said that if he took responsibility, that it would open him up to litigation. See, my friends, we live in a twisted world. It's going to tell you this. Do not admit or do not take responsibility. Repentance says do the exact opposite. Repentance means a second thing. Repentance means name. This is difficult. It means naming specifically the mistake that we've caused. With the elections and primaries that just happened, the exact opposite happened. If there ever was a mistake that was made, we heard half apologies or half statements about a fault that was made. That's the way that we're coached in this world. Well, repentance says do the exact opposite. Name the specific mistake or sin that you've done. Name it. That's tough. That's really hard to do. The world is not going to teach. It does not teach us to do that. Here at Peace, when we have repentance in the very beginning of our service, notice how specific the words are. They're tied to the readings each week, but we don't try to give vague statements about how we're wrong and how we've messed up. We want to be specific with what we say, how we've messed up, how we've sinned and fallen short of the mark. I remember an old Lutheran hymnal when I was going to seminary. The way it used to be done in the Lutheran church was there was a private individual confession absolution. Some of you might remember this, between a member and the pastor. And it was a time where a person would meet with the pastor. And what I remember from that hymnal is that the person would name specifically something that was burdened on their heart. And in the red lettering, it then gave instruction to the pastor. It said, "Pastor, please do not investigate and don't pry and judge, but immediately forgive their sin right on the spot." There you have it. Tough to do, but that's what we do. We admit the mistake, we specifically state it, and we also take responsibility. You know, the process of repentance leads to strength. And we're actually become the people that God meant for us to be. The opposite is true. If someone doesn't practice repentance, they're not the person God wanted them to be. Think about a lobster. Maybe some of you know how a lobster grows and how it becomes the animal that God wants it to be. Actually, in a lot of ways, we're kind of like lobsters. What a strange thing for the pastor to say. You're like a lobster. Lobsters are crustaceans, and they have a shell that's very hard, an exoskeleton shell. But the way that a lobster gets that shell is a unique process. It has to molt and break off that shell so that it can grow and become bigger and get a harder shell. And so the lobster goes through a process where it breaks off its shell and it molts. And during that 25 minutes to about 30 minutes, the lobster's like a dangling piece of meat in the water. It's a very vulnerable piece of meat for anything that's going to come by and take a bite or a nibble. But you see, that 25-minute to 30-minute time frame is critical because the lobster, although vulnerable, grows and strengthens and gets a bigger shell. And through various cycles, a lobster can finally become the lobster that it was meant to be. That's Christian repentance. That's preparing for the test, friends. Martin Luther once put it this way. In his first thesis of the 95 is this. When Jesus Christ said repent, Jesus meant that the entire life of a Christian should be about repentance. Could it be that our life is like a lobster? I think so. When we confess our sins, we admit our mistakes, We take responsibility. We shed our shells, so to speak, and we become very vulnerable, exposed, naked. It's humiliating to say those things. But then God, through his forgiveness, God never delays on his forgiveness. It's immediate. And that leads us to the third portion of repentance, which is the forgiveness of our sins. That gives us the strength and fortifies us in this life. You know what a beautiful thing is then? We're ready. We're prepared. Repentance has prepared us for the test when Jesus comes again. You know this well from your life, but when we prep for a test is just a piece of cake, no problem. When we don't prep for a test, we leave dazed and confused. When Alicia and I came to Oregon, we took a test, the driver test. Some of you know this. Over at the DMV, we took a test. Now, one of us left that test with a cup of coffee and with a big smile on their face and with a lot of bragging rights. The other one of us left that exam dazed and confused, blaming. Why in the world would they ask such a question on this test? Now, one of us prepared, read the booklet. The other one did not read the booklet and thought they could just answer the question. Now, I'm not going to tell you who, I'll tell you who it was. I did not read the booklet. And I walked out of that test, the DMV, and I blamed the book. Why would they ask how long a 2x4 hangs from the end of a pickup truck? I don't have a pickup truck, and it frustrated me. See, that's what a test does when you don't prepare. Friends, John the Baptist is here today, and he says, prep and be prepared. Practice repentance. It's a healthy way of living. And when that test comes, Jesus comes again. It will be sweet, and we'll leave with a smile on our face. Amen. Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, sometimes the topics in church like repentance don't sound fun, kind of like eating our vegetables, but Lord, we see there's a greater, deeper significance behind the practice of repentance. Lord, may we be a church every week, not just here, every single day, that we practice repentance and put on your forgiveness and are fortified for what comes ahead, so that we may look forward to Jesus coming with a smile on our face, and we may look at life as a learning process where we grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.